Well, amen. Thank you, choir. What an encouraging song. If you have your Bibles with you, I want you to turn with me to the Gospel according to John chapter 7. John chapter 7, and I want to read just three verses this morning. John chapter 7, verse 37, 38, and 39. And just want to say a few things, I trust, this morning, and I hope I say them clear and well, so all that are here will really hear it and receive it. When my girls were little, they used to be really excited when Dad was just going to read a couple of verses of Scripture. And then they said it really doesn't matter whether he reads a few or a lot. He just seems to talk the same amount of time. Some of you wonder sometimes, my girls ask me every now and then, Dad, is the sermon going to be very long today? My wife always gets aggravated when they ask me that. John 7, beginning at verse 37. On the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, listen to this, what an invitation. If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Anybody thirsty here this morning, I want to tell you something, friend. First Baptist Church is not the answer. Being baptized tonight is not the answer. Hearing the choir sing consistently is not the answer. Buying my tapes or music tapes is not the answer. Listen, Jesus is the answer. I commend you. Hear me. Oh, God, hear me. I commend you to Jesus. If you're thirsty, I tell you, he's the answer. He will quench your thirst. If you're hungry, he's the bread of life, and he will feed your hungry soul. So Jesus said, anybody here, all of you people, if you're hungry, if you're thirsty, come unto me. Now look at verse number 38. He who believes in me, as the scripture says, out of his belly or out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. But this Jesus spoke concerning the Spirit of God, whom those believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit at that time was not yet given, because Jesus had not yet been glorified. But I've got good news for you. I've just read a text to you that's almost 2,000 years old. And since then, Jesus has been glorified. At the cross, he was glorified. He received our sin in his body. He died, and 3 days later, early on Sunday morning, Jesus got up from the dead. And since he is the resurrected Son of God, he can stand now with all authority and say, if any man thirst, let him come unto me. Now, I want to just say a few words by way of introduction to this message. Listen carefully. If you're not a Christian, say you're here visiting this morning, or you're a member of our church, but you've never really been saved, you really don't have the assurance that, Pastor, I want to tell you something. If I were to die tonight, I'm confident I'd go to heaven. If you've really never settled the sin issue and you don't know where you stand with God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, let me tell you this. There's nothing you can do in and of yourself to become a Christian. You can't get better and become a Christian. You can't clean your life up and become a Christian. Oftentimes, the enemy lies to you and you say, you know, I'm feeling better about myself since I've been going to church, and I'm really getting better and better every day in every way, and before too long, I'll be ready to become a Christian. I've got good news for you. You can come just like you are, and you can become a Christian. I'm telling you, the reason Jesus with such authority invites you to come, and the reason he does it so universally, it doesn't matter what your need is. He is still life's answer and God's provision for your need. So my friend, if you've never been saved, there is no greater need than for you to come to Jesus Christ. Now, I just wanted to share that so you'd be aware of that, because that's not the direction this message is going. I want to speak to you this morning on this subject. Fallen trees, beavers, dammed up lives. Fallen trees, beavers, and damned up lives. My Bible says that if I'll take Jesus at his word and receive his invitation as a thirsty 20-year-old pool room operator, I can come to him and he will quench my thirst. Now, I want you to listen carefully. I've never in my life been around so many defeated believers, so many thirsty Christians, so many hungry children of God. Man, where is, oftentimes somebody says, where's the prophets of old? Where are the Elijahs? I want to ask you another question. Where are the Christians? Where are the Jesus people that have had their thirst quenched? That they can tell someone, hey, you're drinking at the wrong well. I was thirsty like you one day, and I came to Jesus. And Jesus quenched my thirst. There's a lot of thirsty people. Let me tell you what I know about a lot of you. There are a lot of you that are not satisfied where you are with Jesus. And if you'd be real honest, here's what you'd say to me. If you could get a personal time, you'd not sit down and you'd say, preacher, here's what you'd say. My testimony is, I know I'm saved, but I'm not happy with my Christian life. Preacher, I want to be honest with you. Out of my belly, out of my heart does not flow living water. There is not in me, I don't know what it is, preacher, but there's not in me a well springing up to everlasting life. Preacher, I don't know what it is, but if you can help me, there's just something missing in my life. Let me tell you what's wrong with your life. Are you listening? Fallen trees, beavers, damned up lives. Now, I'm going to be so simple this morning that some of you are going to say, well, I thought he really had something to say. But I'm going to mention four things, and I'm going to mention them as clearly and as quickly as I can, to show you what I believe is God's answer and life's answer to the Christian that is not satisfied where they are. First of all, let me just talk to you about a statement we make a lot in our sermon. I found myself last week listening to my sermon as I was preaching, and I realized that kept saying, you need to come to the cross. And some of you are probably thinking, well, which cross? This cross? That cross? The cross of Calvary? What do you mean, preacher, come to the cross? Let me tell you what it means as a believer. Number one, when you're really serious with God, this is elementary, folks, there will be constantly in your life, and especially this morning if you're not where you ought to be, there will be the confession of sin. The confession of sin. You know the verse. Bible says, if I confess my sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, let me just do this. Let me just take for granted everybody doesn't understand that verse, because I didn't understand it for years. What does it mean if I confess my sins? Because if this is the promise, he will forgive us of our sins and cleanse us. Now, let me tell you why that's so important. When I came to Jesus Christ, you know why I needed Jesus? And if you heard a sermon a few weeks ago, Jesus Christ delivered me with force and violence. I was in the grip of the enemy. I was a child of the devil. Jesus Christ came into enemy territory and he snatched me as a brand out of fire. He delivered me. The Bible says I became a brand new person. You know what Jesus did? Jesus delivered me from the grip of sin. Sin had its grip on me. Some of you have got children. Some of you have a spouse that the sin has just so gripped their lives. It's like a vine that's just wrapped itself around them. And you think, well, they need to be free. So finally they come to Jesus. You may say, hey, I was in the grip of sin. I got set free. But let me tell you what some of you are still struggling with. And this is the reason there's no joy. It's the reason we stand and sing, because he lives. You just can't do it with joy. You can't slip the hand up in the air because you just don't really feel cleansed. You don't really feel worthy. Yet the Bible says, if I confess my sins, he is faithful and just to forgive me of my sins and cleanse me. You're dealing with the guilt of your sin. Let me tell you what it means to confess your sins. It means, number one, you acknowledge your sin. Acknowledge it. People say, I want to go to a church where they don't want to talk about sin. Why? So you can keep your sin covered? Just because your sin is hidden from public view and nobody ever talks about it don't mean you've got victory. You may feel better about yourself, but you have no victory. But when we acknowledge our sin, we get forgiveness and cleansing. I would be a fool to call myself a gospel preacher and not tell you how to get forgiveness and tell you how to be cleansed from our sin. The psalmist said in Psalms 32:1, it's really David speaking, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. I tell you, I've got a lot of joy in my life this morning because my sin has been forgiven and my sin has been cleansed and my sin choir has been covered. Sin. Boy, it just kind of sets me free. But you know how I got my sin cleansed? Are you listening? How'd you do this, preacher? What did you do? Well, Jesus did it all on the cross, but let me tell you how I responded to him. I acknowledged. And Jesus said, I've come to forgive sinners. And he said, are there any here? I said, that's me. Lord, I raise my hand. I'm a sinner. I acknowledge I've got sin. And listen to me, until you acknowledge you've got sin, he won't deal with it. Matter of fact, he won't deal with it until you deal with it. But when you deal with it, you know what he'll do? He'll deal with it. He'll forgive it and cleanse it. And we're talking about sins being cleansed, sins being forgiven. We're talking about the basics. The basics is what's brought so much victory and vision and glory to my Christian experience over these last 20 years. The Bible says in Solomon's writings in Proverbs 28:13, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whosoever, listen to this, confesses, that is, he acknowledges sins, but listen to this, and forsaketh them shall have mercy. You may say, well, wait a minute, preacher, you said all I had to do was confess them. Let me be honest with you. When you're at the point that you're willing to acknowledge your sin, it's because you want your sin to be dealt with. Now, listen, I deal with people every day. Did you know I'm dealing with a grown man in another city right now? A grown man in another city. And he acknowledged his affair, but he won't forsake it. He feels better when he's around me and he says, I want to talk to you about this affair I'm in again. But the Bible says, are you listening? In Proverbs 28:13, the Word of God says that you not only acknowledge the sin, you forsake the sin. You may say, I'm not able to get away from it. Listen to this. If you admit it with all honesty that you want God's help, the power of the Holy Spirit of God, that river that's flowing in your heart like rivers of living water, it will flow through you and it'll take it on downstream where it belongs. Now, I'm headed somewhere and I can't wait to get there. I've got to lay this groundwork. I wish we had an hour so I wouldn't have to get in a hurry this morning. Bailey Smith made a statement. He was here 5 years ago. I wrote it in my Bible. I told somebody this week I wrote it in my Bible. They said, so did I, the same day. Listen to these words. Bailey Smith said, any sin we cover, God uncovers. I tell men when I do men's retreats, if you're living in sin, don't worry, you will get caught. Every week I get a phone call. I'm caught. Would you help me? Hello, this is caught. You may think you're slick, my friend, but listen carefully. You live in sin, and sooner or later, sin will catch its fate. But listen, Bailey didn't stop there. Bailey said, any sin we cover, God uncovers, and any sin we uncover, God covers. So you know what I did on January the 7th, 1973? I uncovered my sin, and God covered it. But now, listen, many times since then, I'm a Christian. Jesus lives in my heart. But I want him living in my heart. Listen, I want him living in my heart like a river. I mean, crystal river just flowing in my life. I want it, matter of fact, I want it so overflowing the banks in my life. I want it just going down. You know, they say that a river will just take everything in that's in its way. I want it to be such a mighty, mighty river that it overtakes much of the banks of other people's lives and influences people everywhere as it flows through my life. That's not happening in the average Christian life. Well, acknowledge my sins. Oh, there's so much more. I'll just leave it. Let me move on. What is it? Not only does it mean I acknowledge my sins, but listen to this. If I confess my sins, are you listening? Secondly, I agree with the Spirit. You come to a church like First Baptist Church, and it's not the only church, any church where they'll preach the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit of God sort of just touches the people there, and you have an experience with God. The Spirit of God will not leave you like you are. He'll deal with you as a Christian. And what you have to do, if you're going to get victory and you're going to have this river that I'm going to talk about in a moment in your life, you're going to have to agree. By the way, the word confess literally in the Greek means to agree with. So God shows you sin in your life and you can't make light of that sin. You have to agree with it. I'll tell you what I'm sick of. I'm just a preacher. I'm a sinner myself. Let me tell you what I'm sick of as a preacher. I am sick of dealing with men and women that make so light of their sin. It's been said that sin, the more accessible, the more acceptable. Sin has become so acceptable in our society. But must I remind you this morning, and may I remind you this morning, you want to know what God thinks about sin? I'll tell you what God thinks about sin. Sin nailed Jesus to the cross. And do you believe that God the Father makes light of the death of Jesus Christ? Every time you and I make light of sin, we're making light of the death and the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, God takes sin seriously, and so should the child of God. That's why there's so much sin in the church. We can't get to the lost world in crusades until we get the church cleaned up. means to agree. Let me give you an example. I got it out of my devotion life this week. If you don't have a devotion life, go buy you Oswald Chambers, My Utmost for Size, and read it until Jesus comes. Every morning, take about 15 minutes and read it until Jesus comes. I've been reading it for 10 years, every morning. It gives you the date and a short devotion. All right, listen to Oswald Chambers this week. Listen to this. When God wants to show you what human nature is alike apart from himself, apart from God, he has to show it to you in yourself. Well, if God me what old nature's like apart from God, he won't just show me somebody, he'll show it in myself. Listen to this. If the Spirit of God has given you a vision of what you are apart from the grace of God, and he only does it when his Spirit is at work, you know there is no criminal, are you listening to this? You know there is no criminal who is half so bad in actuality as you know yourself to be in possibility. Well, how about that? That says, oh, have you heard how terrible of a person is that's been convicted this week? Yeah, but did you know the possibility of how terrible you could be apart from God? Oh me, God's Spirit continually reveals what human nature is like apart from God. Well, I'm going to make another statement and move on. Every one of these statements could be a sermon. Let me tell you what I feel like I've just done this morning. I believe I've overprepared. But I'm going to give you as much of as I can. Listen to this. Adrian Rogers said, oh, I need to leave these quotes alone. They're sermons. Listen to this. Adrian Rogers said, the devil had rather get you to think wrong than to do wrong. Wait a minute. You know, you can do wrong, confess it to God, and get right. But if you start thinking wrong about what you did wrong, you don't think anything's wrong. That's where the average businessman is in America. He does wrong, but he needs the Holy Ghost to do a work in his attitude and his thought life because he doesn't think there's much wrong with it. I'm telling you, I deal with men every day that do terrible things. But before they leave my office, what they tried to do in their attempt is to convince me that their sin really wasn't that bad. And by the way, until you agree with God about it, listen to this, you will never, there will never be repentance in your heart until you see the sin like God sees it. And the only way you can see it is to go back to the cross and see the blessed Lord Jesus hanging there, not like you see on a cross many times, but naked he's hanging there. He is beat to the point that no man can recognize him. And he's there because of your sin and my sin. And I have to agree, oh God, that's what my sin did. Oh God, I'm shameful of my sin. Oh God, cleanse me of the sin that I agree with you about. I acknowledge it. It is sin. Whew. Well, go a step further. That's confessing my sin. Well, how about cleansing my sin? Well, the Bible says in First John chapter 1 and verse 7, it says that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Let me tell you what it means to be cleansed. Are you listening? Now remember, when you got saved, he delivers you from the grip of sin. Sin doesn't have its grip on me anymore. I'm not right now at this point in my life, by the grace of God, I am not yielding myself for my body to be used as members of unrighteousness. To the contrary, Jesus Christ, listen to this, by the wonderful working of God's Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ is using me, using my members, using my abilities, using my energy. He's using me to influence people for God. He didn't want to just do that with his preachers. He wants to do it with every believer. But let me tell you why he can do this. I've been cleansed. Now, in the moral sense, and by the way, the word cleanse in the Greek is used in a moral sense. It means to cleanse from the guilt of sin. Listen to this. Cleansed means to be clean. Listen to this. This is Hebrew. Bright and shining. When a person is a Christian and they've been cleansed, they're bright, shining, pure. In the moral sense, they are clean before God. Somebody said, well, that guy's got a radiance about his countenance. It means that you're cleansed from pollution and defilement. It also carries the connotation that you've been not only cleansed, but now as a result of what Jesus has done in your heart, you are in a reconciled position with Almighty God. God has thoroughly changed you and put you into a right relationship with His Son. Well, as a result of being cleansed, it brings restoration of friendship. Abraham was a friend of God, but listen, we can be a friend of God through Jesus Christ. It brings restoration of fellowship. Listen to this. Let me just mention it because I want to get down to the last part of this message. I have communion with my Savior. Now, the only because my sins confessed them, I've agreed to my sin. One of the things people tell me, I've interviewed many and I've had many to come through my office. Here's what we've said. When a man really gets into sin or a lady gets into sin, here's what they always say. I just feel like I can't talk to God anymore. I'm telling you, when your life is full of sin, until you come to the reality of how ugly your sin is and you confess it to God, you will not have sweet communion with Jesus. You can go find you another church. They may sing differently. The preacher may preach differently. He may not raise his voice anymore. Someone told me recently that you can't preach like I preach anymore. People won't come to hear you. You need to have conversational preaching. You just need to be, you need to calm down. Well, bless God, you can't calm down when you've been cleansed. You just got to tell everybody with all of your energy. I'm not preaching. Listen, I'm not just preaching what I've learned in college and seminary. I've experienced God. I didn't have to experience Him to get along with Henry Blackaby. I'm telling you that He changed me at the cross, and I've been in a relationship with Him for 20 years, and He daily, as I acknowledge my sin, He cleanses me. I got communion with Jesus. Got up and talked to Him this morning. Held Him near. There's an old song that says, there's nothing like sweet communion. Sweet communion with Jesus. Nothing like it. Not only I have communion with Jesus, you know when a person gets sin in their life, you know the first place they don't want to go? To church. Why? Because not only do I not have communion with the Savior, they don't have communion with saints. Oh, I like to come to church. I like that little old song, shake another hand, shake a hand next to you, shake another hand and sing along. I mean, just going through, hey, how you doing? Good to see you. I love to do it. I love communion with the saints. But if I had sin in my heart, I wouldn't want to be around y'all. Because if y'all were cleansed, that means you'd be bright and shining and pure. And you'd remind me of my ugly sin. Let me tell you what else. Listen, I want you to hear this. God was really speaking to me this week when I was studying. Listen to this. Not only do I have communion with the Savior, I have communion with the saints. I have conviction over sinners. I walk into a place to eat the other day and a lady said, hello, there comes my friend. She may be in this service. She promised she's going to try to come today. She said, I told my husband, I praise God for this. Please give Jesus the credit for this. But honest to God, it blessed me. A lady said, I told my husband the other night that there's something different about that preacher at First Baptist Church, Woodstock. She says, there's a radiance about him. I pray I do shine for Jesus. I'm telling you, to be cleansed means to shine. And I went in, and my wife was standing there with me, and I said, I'd love for you to come to our church. She said, my husband told me last night, name the Sunday and we'll go. I hope she's here right now. She might be here. But I am. I have conviction over sinners. I care about. Well, let me just give you this. And I've got to move on. I got plenty of time. All right, now listen to me. Are you listening? Now, we're talking about being a Christian. But as a Christian, I have daily fellowship with God. Now, a lot of you Christians say, I'm not satisfied where I am. Let me ask you something. Have you really got honest about your sin? Do you confess your sin regularly? Do you acknowledge to God I've sinned, and do you agree with Him at what He calls sin? Do you get to the point in your life you no longer make light of sin, you hate sin and what it did to Jesus and what it's doing to you? After you've confessed your sin, the Bible teaches we're cleansed by the Spirit and then we're changed by the Savior. There's a book I noticed, Scott, y'all have got, the choir's been singing out of. Did you notice the title of one of the books y'all sing out of? It's entitled, Changed by the Power. Did you know that's what the world's looking for? They're wondering, is there anybody out there that says they've confessed their sins, they've been cleansed, but they're changed. Changed. I mean, if you see them on Monday, they're changed. If you see them on Friday, they're changed. When you see them at church, they're changed. They've been changed. Well, now here's the sermon. That was all the introduction. Here's the sermon. It's because you've learned. Now, what I'm preaching is principles. I confess my sins. Oh, that's the simple stuff. But I'm telling you, I am what I am because of what I'm preaching this morning. I've confessed my sins. I've been cleansed. I'm changed. But listen to this. I'm controlled by the Holy Spirit. I wish I had a cup. I'll get one next service. If I had a cup up here right now, picture a cup. Got me a styrofoam cup so tall, it's full of water. The Bible says in Ephesians 5:18, be ye filled with the Holy Spirit. You say, look at this cup of water. That's what it means to be filled. And then somebody says, well, here's the problem with we Christians. And this is true. You don't like the terminology, but it's true. We Christians leak. And so you could come back next week and you said, there's not as much water in there. Maybe it evaporated or it leaked. The bottom line is it's not full anymore. You say, oh God, fill me. So we fill it back up. Well, let me give you something else that happens. You've got it here and it's full of water. But guess what? You take some object, foreign object, and you place it in there. Water spills out. It's full now. But listen, it's not just full of the Spirit. It's full of the Spirit, but it's full of a whole lot of your stuff going on in your life. Now, let me tell you something about that text. The Bible says, be ye filled with the Spirit. That means it's God's command. Listen, it is not an option to be filled and controlled by the Spirit of God. It is God's command. I'm telling you just as much as if you saw me out in the street, and listen to the statement. If you saw me out this afternoon, and I was down at Ruby Tuesdays, and I was having a drink of liquor, and then had a cold beer. Some of you would say, that preacher isn't what he professes to be. By the way, listen to me, brother. You listen to me, sister. It's also true in your life. Before I was ever called to be a preacher of the gospel, I was called to be a Christian of the cross. Might as well say it. I mean, I'm not here for a popularity contest. I tell you, if you're out there drinking that old filthy liquor and beer, you're not full of the Spirit of God. It is impossible to be filled with Jesus and support an industry that's damning so many boys and girls to hell. It's impossible. Sorry. Find you a liberal. He won't tell you that. But I'm telling you, a man that'll stand on his book will tell you it ain't right. And I want to be an example. Remember, there's a river in me. Not only others that are watching them, they're not happy. They're not happy in their life. Listen to me. There's not a river in their life. They're not flowing down the banks and overflowing and touching other lives. To the contrary. Listen, there are fallen trees, beavers, and damned up lives. We say, what in the world do you mean? The sermon's coming. Continuous action, present tense. Be ye being filled. I'm to be full. I wake up in the morning. Somebody said an old black preacher used to do it, and it became a joke, but now it's become a reality. I wake up in the morning. Listen, Jerry, before I get out of bed, I'm laying there. In the name of Jesus, God, before my feet touch the floor this morning, put on the helmet of salvation. Oh, God, give me the breastplate of righteousness. Sign my feet in the preparation of the gospel of peace. Put on the belt of truth. Give me the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit. Then my feet hit the floor. Up I go. Hey, this old world's not a playground. It's a battleground. And I want to represent the King of Kings. Hey, I'm serious about this thing. I'm going to spend eternity with him when I see him. I want him to be proud of this warrior. Be ye continuously filled. Collective command. When it says be ye filled, it's plural. It means all of us that know Jesus. All of us are to be filled with the Holy Spirit. It speaks of his control. It's passive in its voice. It means the subject is acted upon by another. It means the Holy Spirit came upon me and he filled me. Well, let me do this and I'll try to quit in a minute. Listen to this. Fallen trees, beavers, damned up lives. I like to think of being not only filled with the Spirit, but I like to think of being in the flow of the Spirit. Jesus said in John 7:38, and out of your belly, out, listen, Hebrew word, out of your bowels. Greek word, out of your heart will flow, Jesus speaking, flow rivers of living water. I don't know if you know much about beavers. I talked to a man recently who knew a lot about beavers. Let me tell you what he told me. I'll tell you the story like he told me. He owned a big piece of land, had a wonderful river running through it. It was the very fertile, as they call in Israel, the fertile crescent. All of along the river was very fertile ground because of the flow of the water. But downstream, things began to die. And the reason things began to die and dry up, something had happened to the source of life. Ladies and gentlemen, some of you know the life of God. You've known what it is to know the joy of Jesus. But this morning, downstream in your Christian experience, you're not where you ought to be. You're not satisfied like you used to be. Something is hindering the flow of the life of God. I'll tell you what it is. It's fallen trees. There's some beavers. There's some beavers in your life.
That old beaver with razor-like, chisel-shaped teeth finds this big old oak tree, and he begins to delve in. Isn't it amazing? A little old animal, another one will come and help him, and they'll go in. Before too long, a large timber will be ground. How they do it, I don't know, but those little beavers. And by the way, I love to go to a natural habitat of beavers and watch those beavers. They're so slick. Have you noticed? They're so slick. And they're just wandering all through those streams. I say, hey, look, honey, there he is. He's behind the rock. Look, there he comes. He's so cute. But he gets those old trees, and somehow, I don't know how he does it, he gets a real good man over here, a good man. The life of God is so flowing in his life. And he chisels away, razor teeth that old tree away, and it falls. And some of his friends come, and they drag the river over, drag the tree over to the river. And they dam up the river. Oh, just one tree to begin with. Oh, you can hardly notice it. They can still sing in the choir. They can give testimony. They still tithe. Are you listening to me? Oh, just looking at them, you'd never know anything was wrong on the surface. But I know something about them. The beavers have been at work. They've downed some trees. And they brought the trees over into the source of life, into the mighty river of that person's life. I mean, out of the belly has been flowing rivers. But now, there's a downed tree. So you know what happens? Not quite the water. Oh, listen. Where the water used to overflow the banks, it's all over in here. Now the water is a smaller channel. They're not making near the impact, not the influence they used to have, but nobody knows why. But they're not happy deep down inside. You can hardly tell it, but they know they're not having the impact they used to have. But the old beaver, he don't let up. The old beaver downs another tree and another tree and another tree. And before too long, guess what? He dams up the source of life and the life of the believer. Oh, are you seeing what's happening downstream in that old boy's life now? Oh, can you see that lady? It's all dried up now, Roger. The water is dammed up because of fallen trees. Beavers dammed up lives. I'm telling you, that's where the majority of you are today. Your life is dammed up. Oh, but you know, it took that old beaver, let's give him credit, he's tough, but it took him a long time to down some of those trees big enough to shut off the source of river in your life. But you'd never confess that there was a single tree in your life until your whole life was dammed up. Now you're in a fix. Don't go hear no Baptist preacher like Johnny Hunt that stands up here with the fire of God every week and preach. Find you some old liberal out there that'll just sugarcoat it, because listen, his life's damned up too. That's why he stands not with this Bible that's a book that's like no other book in my library. It's the Word of God. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. He's found him another book. Why? Because his life is full of fallen trees, beavers, dammed up life. You remember what I said earlier? Don't you worry, old buddy. You will get caught. What you gonna do, preacher? Thanks for asking. Get the dynamite. Talk to a man. God is my witness. You think I'm kidding? I called somebody. What do you do? I asked them, what do you do? They said, you get the dynamite. He said, to start with, dynamite so strong it scared him. He said he went down with a friend to a dammed up river, put several sticks of dynamite in the dam, went way into the woods, hid behind a tree. He said stuff went everywhere. Scared everywhere. He said to start with, he said he was scared, but he said then the adrenaline began to flow. Son, it knocked bark 300 feet. But listen, guess what happened? Rivers Water's flowing again. Oh, the life of God. They've admitted they got a problem. Went and got the dynamite. By the way, where does dynamite come from? Power. Dunamis. It's a Greek word that refers to the power of God. Hey, listen to me, dear friend. You may think you can change by changing the way you think. No, you need the power of the Holy Spirit of God to come and dynamite the dam in your life. And when He blows it out, the rivers begin to flow. Oh, no, downstream where it's parched. It's wetland now. Oh, now it's flowing like never before. But you know what the devil said? My life will never count again. It'll never flow. You know why? Because your power doesn't have the potential to make it flow again. But the power of God does. You can live the rest of your Christian experience under my ministry. If God leaves you here, and if there's fallen trees and beavers, your life will remain dammed up. Or you can get the dynamite of God's glory and let it dynamite it, and your life will flow for God, and out of your belly will flow rivers. And everybody that touches you, you know what they'll say? I don't know what it was the other day about being around so-and-so, but I feel, oh, I'm about to have a spell. I feel, are you listening? Refreshed. Refreshed. Oh, water refreshes. I went out to the park yesterday morning. I had a long morning, so I didn't get to run until 11 o'clock. It was 92 degrees. I ran 6 miles, 92. I couldn't wait to get home, get to the Georgia Mountain water fountain. Oh, how refreshing. Oh, my soul was so parched from running. And I got me some Georgia Mountain water, and it refreshed me. And if anybody were running with me yesterday, weren't I always say, you want a drink of water? They get refreshed. But our lives are refreshing no one, because fallen trees, beavers, dammed up lives. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, come down and fill this place. Heads bowed and eyes closed. I'm going to ask those of you that would say, preacher, instrumentalists, just begin playing now. Preacher, I'm not satisfied. My life's not bright and shining and refreshing as it used to be. Beavers, fallen trees, dammed up my life. And this morning, I'm going to acknowledge my sin. I'm going to agree with God about my sin. I want to be cleansed when I leave this place. And I want God in His glorious dynamite mighty power to blast the dams of my life, that the water may flow freely this morning. That's the desire of your heart. Some of you need to come as a couple. Come on right now. Just come on, get in the altar. Just get up out of your seat and come and get in this altar right now and do business with God. That's right. Come on. Individuals with the spouse in the balcony, you got time to come. This service runs over the other service. We'll wait. You in the choir, you're down here. It's time to get honest. I don't know about you, but I want God's glory to flow through me. Hey, you can't put on, you can't manufacture what only God can give you. Our only hope is for Him to give it. For Him to give it. And if you don't uncover it, my friend, listen, God will. You might as well uncover it. Lay it at His feet. Confess it. Come on, others. It's in your belly. Be honest before God. It's in your heart, your emotions, mentally, intellectually. Is there a river of God bursting forth, springing up unto life everlasting? I mean, just flowing over on others. Come on. Just come kneeling at the altar. It's a private time. Remember, we said confess your sins to God. Confess them to God. Confess them to God. Dozens are here. Others that need